Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
Body, hi, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm George Massey. This is the George Massey Show. So I just watched live B90 Before the 90 Days, Season 7, Episode 1. And man, there's a lot to unpack. So first off, let's just get this out of the way. Discovery and Warner Brothers sucks. They did not put the show on. Hey, Gina, they did not put the show on streaming. Just get that out of the way. I don't know why they're doing this. Well, I lied. I know why. They want ratings and they want to sell ads because they're in debt. They apparently overpaid for their merger. So I was just going to get that out of the way. Hey.
Hi.
Oh my God, Cara.
I can't.
This season. I don't even know where to start. We don't have enough time. I'm just going to say it right now. We don't have enough time to unpack all of the foolishness that we've experienced tonight. And I have to say, I've been complaining all year. I was sick of the manufactured drama. I was sick of the BS. I wanted to see some real drama. And within 20 minutes of the show coming on, I was like, oh man, you know what they say when they say, be careful what you ask for? Good Jesus, right? Like, there's so much crazy drama. I don't even know where to begin with Lauren and with Chitty and with Renee. And there's just so, I don't even know where to begin. There's just, you know how you walk into somebody's house and you see like trash everywhere, you see like roaches, you see like, that's kind of like the episode, and I don't even know where to begin to just like call out, right? Like, because first of all, I mean, we can try to start with Lauren, right? So Lauren is I forget the specific term he used, forgive me, but he's only attracted to trans women that have a penis. He's a
gynosexual.
Thank you. A gynosexual, which was my first time hearing this term, right? I didn't know it existed. So he doesn't consider himself gay, but he grew up in a very small town. And, you know, that would be strange to people in a very small rural American town, right? So he is a non-monogamous gynosexual. And he's dating Faith, who is a ladyboy, the term through her culture. I found it a little offensive, but I guess in their culture, that is totally acceptable. I think we learned about the term ladyboy when we heard David and Annie's story. Annie has a really close friend named Cindy, and she said, oh yeah, it's just ladyboy. That's what they say. And I was like, huh, we wouldn't let that fly here, right? Like, we wouldn't let that fly. No. It seems offensive. It seems degrading, but that's just how they... In the Philippines, you know, that's how they refer to it. So what is your first impression? Like, every time we got deeper into his story, I just got more and more shocked, right? Like, I never knew that I could be this excited about 90 Day Fiancé and the show until I was watching his story unpack. And I was like, it's just one thing after another, right?
It literally is. When he said that they said, I love you on day one, that actually was like, okay. This shit show is going to erupt. But he wants to move to the Philippines, not have her move here because he's broke. She's never going to let that fly, especially when she finds out he's been cheating on her all along. Like, this is a whole train wreck dumpster fire all at once.
It's a reverse green card, too, because he hasn't been honest. She thinks that she's going to be moving here with him, and her family thinks this too. Because in one of the previews, her mom was like, oh, so, you know, what's the plan? You're going to bring her to the U.S. What's going on? And then he drops the bombshell. Oh, I'm homeless in the U.S. You know, I don't even have anywhere to live, which is a whole nother thing for me, right? So he lives in Las Vegas. He has three jobs. And I get it. They're odd jobs. But how do you work three jobs and you don't have anything?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know that minimum wage is unacceptable in our country. I'm not going to, like, sit here and act like it's okay. But three separate jobs and you can't even, like, secure even a roommate situation, just secure a real steady, stable place. but he has the money to go over to the Philippines, and he's doing, like, I don't know. I'm questioning a lot about him. And the fact that he doesn't ever want to be monogamous was like a red flag to me.
Absolutely.
Because he said that this was Faith's first relationship. He would be her first boyfriend. I don't think that you can really launch someone into, I guess it's like a plural lifestyle is basically what he's trying to live. You can't really launch somebody into that who hasn't even experienced like a real relationship. It's going to seem too far-fetched and too crazy for someone who's not exactly... He doesn't even know if she's open to that. First of all, he doesn't know. Because I was like, a lot of times, a lot of this could be solved through conversation. And the fact that he doesn't want to have that conversation, he wants to get there and secure his spot in her country before he tells her the truth. Also, I have like a few questions because he said that he wants to move to the Philippines and start working. Can you just move to another country and start working?
No.
Without like being...
He's never even been to an airport, let alone flown, much less been out of the country. He thinks that cooking food in a bathroom is going to prepare him for what it's for like in another country.
Yeah. And no, let's talk about the bathroom shrimp. So he ate the entire shrimp. So I just want to ask because, you know, I grew up in a religion where I wasn't allowed to eat shrimp. So I didn't start eating shrimp until I was over 18. When I got out of the cold. So like, do people eat the entire shrimp like that? Like, I was really confused by that.
People might, but I don't.
I don't either. Like, it was really weird. When he crunched it, I was like, see, this is too much. I've never seen a shrimp eaten that way. Like, the whole thing, the whiskers, the antennas, everything was still intact.
That's so
like, the eyes. And I was just like, see, this is weird for me. And I mean, I grew up in Louisiana. I saw people that ate crawfish. Mm-hmm. You know, and they would eat like the brain part of the crawfish. I've seen weird stuff. Yeah. Okay. Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like I haven't seen weird stuff. I've seen it, but that was really weird to me. And then hold on. There was something else that happened with them. I have notes. It was so much for me that I had to take notes. Cause I was just like, I know I'm not going to be able to remember all of this nonsense.
Yeah, absolutely. His best friend is also his ex-girlfriend. That's so weird.
Who's paying for all of his purchases because he's kind of a deadbeat. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be like rude, but like he takes his best friend places so she can fit the bill
literally
for whatever he has going on. And I'm beginning to think like he might just be like a mooch.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was like, I don't know. I'm getting like mooch vibes from him because his ex-girlfriend was like, oh, I thought things were going to work out. And then I realized, you know, it wouldn't work because he only likes women with penises. And I was like, but y'all were dating and you were probably paying for stuff that whole time. Right. So he was probably sleeping with other people while you were paying for things. Like, I feel like he's like a career mooch. Like, he knows how to like.
Even his boss said he came and asked for a job. I said, yeah, offered him part time. And now I can't get rid of him. He said that straight up.
Yeah. So, I noticed that. He was adamant. Because he was like, oh, do you need help? And he was just like, this isn't how I hire people. And now he can't get rid of him. And it's like, I question it though, because he has three separate jobs. And I know the one job where he's like working at the club as an assistant to the drag queens, that's probably not a lot of money. But I'm sorry, like money, if you make money and you manage your money correctly, you can make it farther than he's making it. Yeah. You know, like, because there are people who work at McDonald's who can secure at least a room, that they can rent a room and it's stable, you know, and they have, you know, things that they own. He just hops on a couch. Did you notice when he flew over to the Philippines, he didn't have any checked bags?
Yeah.
Because I was like, you're moving there, you say forever, and everything that you own in your life is in a carry-on. Like, when I go to NYC for 4 days, I have like four checked bags. Like, I have a lot of stuff.
Don't even get me started. I leave with four check bags and a carry-on. I purchase more luggage when I get to my destination because I know how to buy shit, and then I have to check those bags.
Yeah. You're right. I come back with more bags than I left with because that's how it works. When you go on vacation, you accumulate more stuff than you left with.
It's just like a week's vacation. If I was intending on moving somewhere, There's just no way in hell I would need a whole 747 just for my shit.
I don't know. Like, I don't want to pick favorites, but this is going to be one of my favorites to watch and go through, because I just feel like he's so deceitful, and I feel like there's so many layers to him, and I feel like, because it's like, he's, you know how we watch the show and we're like, oh, this person is only trying to get a green card. He's reverse green carding, yeah. Which is always my favorite. You know, we haven't seen a reverse green card since Danielle reverse green carded Johan, yeah. Which was, I loved following that story, because she kept saying like, I never said I was going to bring him to the U.S. And then people went and found it. They played it back. We had the video of her. I was like, you reverse green carded him because you knew you couldn't stay here because of your bankruptcy. And all of the creditors were coming for you. So I was like, I'm watching this, but I don't think that he fully understands how moving to another country works either, because you move to the Philippines, because, you know, we're watching Josh on The Other Way, and he moved to China, and even go about it with the right visa, doing it the legal way, he still has to wait 5 years before he can hold a job in China. Now, I get it. China and the Philippines are not the same place, but it just to show there's a process. If that was the case, if we could just hop up and move and go to any country we wanted and go to work, people would be moving abroad and doing that more often than they are. You know, it takes planning, it takes a visa, it takes approvals, it takes years of waiting to even know if it's even allowed. You can't just hop on an airplane with a carry-on and go to any country, you know, Russian roulette country, and then just go live there and get a job. If that was that easy, we wouldn't have immigration, we wouldn't have visas, we wouldn't have that whole process to make sure that it's going about it the right way.
Yeah, it's insane that he's even thinking it's going to go well.
Well, I can't wait to watch it fall apart. So I want to get into this Tiger Lily situation with Adnan. And so apparently Tiger Lily was in a very controlling relationship, right? You know, typical story. She was with a really rich man who felt like, you know, I can give you this type of lifestyle so I can control you. She actually got out of the relationship. She said it took her 4 years to finalize her divorce, which is crazy. So that means that they were fighting tooth and nail, you know, because you could get a divorce finalized in less than a year if you both yeah. hate each other enough, right? Okay. But I feel like she needed to be taken care of, because when you're in one of those imbalanced relationships, you know, like especially if you're a housewife taking care of kids and he's the one out making all the money, you have to make sure you're taken care of, because without that income that you've grown accustomed to for all those years, you're screwed. You know, so I feel like it took them a long time to craft the right process for her to leave, which I'm very happy that she was able to leave. We've seen what it's like to stay in those relationships play out on the last season of Happily Ever After. Yeah. So, but the whole question in my mind is, what makes her think that marrying, first of all, at first sight, so she's going to fly over to Jordan and marry Adnan, who's 22 years old and a model, but he's a Muslim. Yep. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but we know that Muslim religion focuses on controlling women. And she comes from a triggering situation of being controlled. And so, because when she showed us her bachelorette party, it was filled with service workers, people that her hairdresser, her makeup artist, her yoga instructor, her life coach, she was only allowed to interact with people yeah. that were on the payroll that she could pay. Her husband didn't even allow her to have actual friends that she could pick. So going into marrying a Muslim, it really makes me question if she understands what she's doing. Because, you know, we're watching.
I'm shocked, because most Muslim men insist that you convert before they'll even give you the time of day. You have to be like in the process of converting. And she's just gonna marry him when she gets there and hope for the best?
Well, she said that they had to get married because they're not even allowed to be in the same room with each other. So if she was to go visit, they couldn't actually, they would have to like meet at a restaurant and other people would have to be present. Like if they were in a room, and you know, we've heard this, we've watched this show right. long enough to know, a man and a woman can't be in a room together without being supervised if they're not married. Right. So it's just wild to me that of all the people that she would choose to fall for, she would fall for a Muslim. And then her friends were asking her all of these questions, you know, like, is he a virgin, or have you talked about finances? So I think all of these are really valid questions when you're going to marry somebody, right? Like, I don't feel like any of her friends were out of bounds for like, well, what are you going to do about finances? Is he going to contribute? Are you going to be the one contributing? She didn't know any of the answers. And I think that's really what scared me. Yeah. She's going into it blindly and she's just like, oh, it'll be fine. And you know, I don't think that religion will be an issue. And I'm like, so you don't own a TV.
Yeah.
And you've never met like a devout Muslim before, because religion, I think I said this too about Mahmoud, it's kind of their personality. Like their religion takes on their personality, and they don't really have an opinion outside of their religion. Like, you know how you could meet a Christian, and the Christian, they're a good Christian, they go to church, but they also have opinions that might not align with their religion, but they just, they have personal beliefs. I don't believe that Muslims have personal beliefs. It has to align with what the book says. Yeah. And if it doesn't align, they're not even allowed to think it. Like, it's just not a part of their reality. And I think that when people get involved with Muslim men, they're under the impression that their religion is negotiable.
Yeah.
You know, like they can have a reasoning conversation with a Muslim man, which you really can't, you know, because it's, and it's also more so that a lot of their teachings only apply to women. So they don't see the purpose of doing anything your way, because they don't have to change the way that they live. Men literally just, the only thing they really have to do is pray 3 times a day, right? Like, I'm pretty sure, like, the list of things for a man, it's like, you have to pray 3 times a day and you have to use a bidet, right? Like, there's not a lot that you really have to alter your life. But for the women, there's like at least a 500 page, I'm exaggerating, book of things that they follow. And I think that what really catches me is weird is, why are Muslim men so open to dating non-Muslim women, knowing that they won't let them be who they are? Is it like, because I know when I was in my religious cult, they would force us to go out on the weekends, and they called it witnessing, and we would have to go out and knock on people's doors and try to get them to convert and come to our church. So I was like, is this like a version of witnessing for Muslim men, where they take a non-Muslim woman and convert them, and then like the more women you're able to convert, like the more respect you get in your religion? Like, I was just wondering that.
I don't know, but when witnessing happens, did you know if you answer your door naked, they won't come back?
I didn't know that.
I can tell you that.
Somebody put a sign on their door, because, you know, where our church was, the neighborhood knew about us. You know, they knew, like, these people, they won't leave us alone. So they put a sign that said, do not disturb, exorcism in progress, or something, or like a demonic ritual in progress or something, because I remember seeing
the sign. My dad had a sign on his door up until the day he died that said, warning, the third witness to knock on my door will be shot. Notice. It said, notice, the second one just left.
See, that works too. That works too. Well. And that was my least favorite part of it too, but we were forced. Like, we didn't have a choice. It was like, for after church on Saturdays, we just had to, you had to just go out randomly. Now thinking, looking back, how dangerous it was sending us as children randomly to strangers' houses and knocking. We could have got snatched up and never seen again. Like, now that I'm looking back at it, I'm lucky, right? Like, we were literally...
Same thing as for me as a kid. We had to go door-to-door for school and sell candy bars and different books and gift wrap paper and popcorn. And it was all, you know, who could sell the most to get the best prize. And your best prize was literally something from the Dollar Tree, you know?
Yeah, or a pizza party or something crazy. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It's just, I don't know. I think that all people, no matter where you come from, your walk of life, you can learn to love and respect others. But I just know that with the experiences that we've seen with Muslim men, they're not compromisers, right? Like, I don't want to say anything negative about them. I think that it's very respectful how devout they are to their religion. I respect people for that, you know, but I also think that when it comes down to love and respect of others, you have to be open to understanding that you're, you know, there's thousands and thousands of religions. And I think that when you start denouncing all of them but yours, it's very closed-minded, and you don't give people the chance to be who they are. Because I didn't think my religion was weird until, I don't know, I was probably 13 or 14, and I started noticing, like, small things. Because I was born into it. I didn't know anything else. I didn't know about any of the other religions. I thought that mine was it.
Yeah.
So when I started getting old enough to think for myself, I started noticing things. And I wonder that, too, about Muslims. Like, when they get older, do you think that they start noticing that some of their practices are extreme, do you think that they ever question it?
I don't think so, because and this is just speculation, purely speculation. I've never been to this culture. I've never, nothing like that. So, but if everybody you were around, your whole region, your whole area, everything that you came in contact with was the same religion as you, you wouldn't really notice anything too differently, because everybody's doing the exact same thing.
But don't think true.
Until they end up with an American woman who is having a hard time converting.
I think, who said it? Saf Bunny said it. She said that they're sick of the boring sex that they're getting in the Muslim religion. I think someone said that in the Muslim religion, it's only like missionary, and it's not adventurous. It's not.
They said that on Forbidden Love.
Yeah. That's what we heard. So I think she said that they want to branch out into something more, I don't know, what's the best word? Spicy, right? Like they want, and I think finding an American woman is kind of their version of spicing things up.
Yeah.
And it's like, but if you want her because she's different, you have to let her be different, right? And I think that that's the issue. If there's nothing wrong with, you know, going outside of the box and dating someone different and trying different things, but you have to, like, if what attracted you was them being different from what you're used to, don't change them too. They're like, oh, well, you're different, that's why I like you, but you're different, that's also why I don't like you. You know, it can't be that double-edged sword. You can't say, oh, well, I'm attracted to you because of you're not a Muslim, but I also can't be with you because you're not a Muslim. You know, like it leaves her no opportunity or no wiggle room in between. And I don't know, it's like, in my opinion, when I was in a cult, everybody that got married in our cult got married to someone who was a part of it, because it was not acceptable for you to be with. And when someone did marry someone that wasn't a part of it, like I said, they would try to convert them or they would stop coming to the church. You know, it wasn't really something. And it's like they go out and purposely find these women who, and usually very independent women at that, you know, because there are some Stepford wives out there, like Shekinah. Yeah. Shekinah would do totally fine marrying a Muslim man because she's very submissive.
Yeah.
And she'll do whatever she's told. If he tells her to cover her hair, she'll do it. If he wants her body covered, she'll do it. Whatever Sarper says, she'll do. But they find women that are extremely independent and very expressive of who they are, whether it's their hair, their clothing, their personality, they're outspoken, because they don't even like when women speak out or speak up. You know, they feel like that's disrespectful because a woman isn't supposed to talk back to a man. And I'm like, you don't need to be with an American woman at all if you think that she's not supposed to speak up or speak out, because American women are very, very vocal about how they feel. You know, and, you know, especially now, like with divorces so normal, if a woman doesn't feel happy and doesn't feel respected and loved and that she has that freedom, women are so quick to just file for a divorce. They're just like, you know what? We're not even going to work it out. You know, we're not even going to, because why? Women are to the point where I don't have to settle to be with anybody. If you're not going to treat me the way I want to be treated, I can just move on to the next person.
Right. Now, did I miss something? Is she getting... Did all her money come from this marriage? You know I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out who she was married to, what he did. You know I'm going to find all that out.
Apparently, Sarcasm already posted the divorce and the details. Okay. I haven't read the whole article, but I'm going to forward it to you.
Okay.
But she did not say that she did anything for a living. When she introduced herself, she said she lived in in Frisco, Texas. She was 41, and she appreciated the finer things in life. She never mentioned any type of job. But she did say that her ex-husband, you know, they live in a very fancy house, drove nice cars, she had money for purses, shoes, and clothes. So I'm assuming that 4-year settlement of that marriage, because I'm pretty sure she, you know, probably got spousal support, she's getting child support too, because they have two children.
I just need to know what he did for a living that she's able to walk in and buy a $26,500 watch.
Well, to be fair, we didn't see like a receipt. I've watched a lot of TikTok, and I know that there's TikTokers who fake purchase things. So to be fair, unless we see her like bring the watch on the trip or she's wearing the watch, I get really skeptical when I see that. Like there's a guy who's from this area who supposedly buys iPhones and iPads and he just leaves them randomly on street corners and tells people to go get them. But I've seen comments where they're like, oh, I saw him leave it, and then after they finish videoing, he'd go pick it up and take it back. So I was like, I mean, that $26,000, $27,000 watch is crazy. I'm not saying that she doesn't have a lot of money, but if she's only living off of spousal and child support, I don't see that she gets that much, that she has that much to spare, right? Because she has kids that has to be taken care of.
She also has the whole Darcy Stacey feel.
Yeah.
She's got the lips, she's got the boobs, she's got the bad extensions, she's got all these things that give bad Darcy Stacey vibes. So, somewhere in there, whether she got it from her parents or she got it from her ex or she's getting it from OnlyFans, I don't know. She's bringing in some money.
She's got money. You're right. Her attitude and her vibe is money, right? And you can tell that it's not an act. Like, we've watched some people on the show, I don't want to call anybody out, that pretended they had money, mm-hmm. and you could see right through it. You knew that the amount of money that they had was not the amount of money.
Yes.
Or the amount of money they said they had didn't match the amount that was in their bank account. You could tell. I do believe, based on just the way that she carries herself, she's got commas in her bank account.
Absolutely.
I can just tell. You're right. She gives off that, how much is it? I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to get it vibe, right? Like, so you're right. We have to figure out what he did, like what he owned. It has to be, he has to own something.
You know, I will find out.
Yeah, but he owns something.
Do you think she legally changed her name to Tiger Lily, or do you think that's her birthright?
Oh, no, I think that's just the name that she's using. I think a lot of people are doing it now. Like, Statler is using a different name. Statler's not her real name. And actually, a lot of people didn't know Riley is not Riley's real name either. So a lot of people are entering the show with, like, a stage name.
Well, yeah, I guess. You'd have to, because there's assholes out there like us that will find out everything.
Everything. Where you live, where you work, what your last husband did, everything. Yeah. It's all going to be found out. So, yeah, I've never heard of anyone's name Tiger Lily before. I mean, she's rich and vain enough to maybe have changed her name to
that's what I'm thinking. So, and I'm thinking after the divorce, she probably just pulled the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. I feel like she's so rich and she's kind of vain. It's very possible that she was just like, oh, I like this name. I'm gonna call myself that. It's very possible. But I'm really interested too in this, because I want to see how her arriving in Jordan is going to culture shock her, because she's another one of those, she doesn't understand the religion. She doesn't own a phone with Google on it. She doesn't know what she's getting herself into, which is fine. You know, surprises can be fun, but usually not. Usually they're bad, you know? So I want to see how she handles, you know, because we saw the preview right when she got off the plane. She was dressed, by American standards, very, very modest.
Right.
By Jordan Muslim standards, she was dressed like a straight hoochie. So I think that it's even, because you have to remember, with this cultural shock, what we in America would say a woman is dressed like a hoe, they're actually like wearing a bra and panties out on the street. But like in Jordan, in the Muslim religion, they would say you're dressed like a hoe. You're actually wearing like a suit jacket with pants, but it has like a V in the front, and you can see like that there's breast there.
Yes.
That's a hoe.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it's very culturally different, you know. So I think that she's never gonna, and since she's not gonna do any research and she's not gonna actually take the time to learn, you know, what, first of all, crazy, 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 crazy thing for me is marrying somebody at first sight.
Okay. Yes, but crazy thing for me is what is going on with all these women, all these women that are getting married in another country while they're raising small children here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she does have two kids. That's true.
So
but
what
she's
not. What are you going to do? Not take them with you? You're just going over there?
I'm pretty sure the ex-husband won't allow it.
But she's making it sound like she said, I was married, controlling man, I blah, blah, blah. now me and my kids are living a fantastic life, so and so and so and so. Okay, so now what about your kids? You're just going to be like, well, we had a good life, so have fun at daddy's. But, you know, what the hell?
Well, she's not moving there, but I understand what you're saying. Well, it's still pretty traumatizing. She's marrying
him. I mean,
but he's going to come here, which I think is... It's not going to make anything any better. It's actually going to, because you know, when you're on spousal support, if you get remarried, did you know that spousal support ends?
Yep, that's
I don't think a lot of women know that. So when she brings him here and marries him and he doesn't have any income, what's going to happen?
Her ex-husband is going, please.
Well, right. The ex-husband is the one on the phone with the embassy begging for the approval process of the visa to go faster. He's probably hired a lawyer for her to push the application. Right? Through, because I'm pretty sure he's sending 20-30 grand a month to her, because it's spousal and child support, right? And if you're a rich man, we learned this with Britney Spears. She was paying like $50,000 to $75,000 a month to her ex-husband for child support. No, and I don't want to get in nobody's business, but nobody needs that much money to be raised properly. Like, right. I get that her bank account is large, you know, she has a lot of money, but those children don't need $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a month to live a good life.
So that they're seeing maybe $1,000 of that tops.
Well, yeah, the parent is living, you know, because I was thinking of Shekinah again, because you know Shekinah's ex-husband is funding her life and taking care of her child, and I was like, wonder how much money the boarding school costs, because that's the only amount of money she's spending on that girl, right? Yeah. She's keeping the rest for lip fillers, clothes. New noses, bringing Sarper over here. But again, when she marries Sarper, that is going to get cut off. If you're getting spousal support, because it's like, I don't know why they're so in a rush to get married when they're getting so much in spousal support, because you're giving up your income. Like, if she fought really hard, she said she fought for 4 years to get the deal that she got in that divorce, meaning a judge felt she deserved this.
Yeah.
It's not just she wanted to say, oh, I hate him, give me all his money. The judge agreed that she deserved this after all that she went through. And now she's going to just throw it all away for some 22-year-old model that she never met. Because literally the second he gets here, he can go straight there, file a motion, and cut her off. He'll still have to pay for child support, but spousal support will be over for her. Yep. And I don't see, you know, because this relationship, let's be real, it's not going to last.
Oh.
Why would you get kicked off of your spousal support for like a 6-month failed relationship? Because I doubt that they'll even make it 6 months. I mean, do you even think they're going to make it to the wedding? Because
I think they'll screw up and get married over there.
Right away.
I think that's going to wait.
So you think they'll still do the right away wedding?
Yeah. She said he's planning a wedding of like 200 people and she's really had no input. There's no way that they're going to do that and it's not going to go through. They're going to get married. But now here comes the same question I had with Michael and Angela. If you're married in another country, does it carry over the same way to the United States? In Nigeria, it did.
Well,
I haven't researched
it. It does if they use a spousal visa.
Yes.
But if they're going to do if you get married in that country, can you still apply for a K-1?
No.
You can't. So no, I guess, it will work.
Married, and that's a spousal visa. From what I've researched, I mean, there are many loopholes that
I know. Some countries they don't honor marriages. So, like, if you get married in certain countries, it means nothing over
that's
here.
What,
but there's
okay,
a
so looking at. Obviously, I did tons of research in Angela and Michael. But anyway, I did, because I was hoping there was a loophole for Michael, and there was. Yay! But anyway. So they got married in Nigeria, and that very much transfers over to the United States. Now, I haven't done research on any other country because I was too invested in them, but I am going to look into that and see what I can figure out.
Oh yeah. There's so much we need to get into from all of this. Oh, so I want to talk about Brian. He is in a wheelchair, and we found out that he was a victim of gun violence in Chicago when he was younger. And then right at the tail end, he dropped a bomb and said, oh, well, Ingrid doesn't know that it wasn't random.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean? Because he was carjacked and he was shot. But then at the end of the segment, he said, oh, it wasn't random. So what does that mean? Was he involved in some sort of organized crime? Because my mind went crazy.
I mean, that's exactly where my mind went. He was a
mine too, because I was like, well, if this was a targeted hit on you, it usually that has to do with some sort of organized crime or a gang or something. It's just really strange because he was a father, he had a daughter, you know, I thought he would be removed from that type of lifestyle, but apparently he wasn't. And I don't know, that caught me off guard because I was watching the tweets on X and everybody was talking about, and they're like, oh, we need to protect Brian. Brian is gonna be our heartwarming person. And then right at the tail end, he reveals to us that his becoming a quadriplegic wasn't random. So we're gonna have, and again, Ingrid being 20 years younger than him, it struck me as interesting that she, one, didn't tell anybody about him. And, you know, we learned with Thais, there are different reasons, right? There are different reasons why. He thinks it could be because he's in a wheelchair. I don't. I think it might have something to do with something else. Yeah. And I just wonder, how much money do you think he's sending her? Because that was the first thing that came to my mind.
So much. This guy has been married 4 times. 3 Americans. And he said a lot of failed engagements in Brazil. Like, he just keeps going back to Brazil. And so every single time he keeps finding a Brazilian woman, he's sending her money. I don't see how this one's any different.
It's funny that he omitted that. Technically, everybody omitted the money situation tonight. This could be strategic, right? They don't want to give us too much too soon. We have a whole season. Because I was like, I need to know how much money people are sending to people. This is really important. Because that helps me gauge the person's character. Hey, Kim. Hey, bestie. It helps me. It gauges, you know, how that relationship is going. Oh, guys, there's a huge Pillow Talk special for the Before the 90 Days that comes on tonight. It has Darcy, Kim, Misha, Gabe,
Robert.
It's a huge deal. So make sure you guys tune in. My bestie Kim is there. I think they filmed it in Florida too, which is really cool. So make sure, it's going to be a huge deal. So we're going to be watching that tonight. Yeah. But I need to know how much money Brian is sending Inger. She's 20 years younger than him. And she has 2 kids. She's a single mom. And she doesn't ask enough questions for me. Because Patrick is there too. No Thais, just Patrick. And I want to know, you know, because if she wants to be with a quadriplegic, right? The first thing that came to my mind was what works and what doesn't. And I think a woman would want to know that pretty early on, right? Like, being intimate in a relationship, especially for a woman in her 20s, would be important, right? So I was like, if she's not even planning and she's not even asking for that, how much is he sending her? Because I was just, it just popped. I was like, because he's like, she doesn't ask me about like what works and what doesn't and how the wheelchair works. I was like, so you just sending her money? Because if this was a real relationship, these are normal everyday questions that she would want to know. Because if she moves in with you, she would want to know how much work it entails to maintain your daily life together. Right. And I think he's very independent, though. Like, when we were watching for like the first 10 minutes, we didn't even know that he was in a wheelchair. He has a job. He drives. He takes care of himself. He cooks for himself. He dresses himself. So I don't think that it's really going to be any sort of burden on anybody. But if you were in a relationship with someone who was in a wheelchair, it is a normal freaking question to ask, you know, does it work?
Absolutely.
You know, like. And I think that's what caught me the most off guard. I was like, so she doesn't even care?
What caught
if it were like
off guard is when they're talking about it, and I found out that if he ejaculates, he could literally die.
That
could cause an aneurysm. That is so terrifying.
I didn't know any of this.
I didn't either.
I had and no my clue.
My brother-in-law is a paraplegic, and I know that he's still, I mean, he's good, he's active, all that stuff. But I had no idea. I mean, that's terrifying.
It's very terrifying because...
Like, you want to walk around in a muumuu all the time because you would not want to arouse this man.
Well, what if you have, like, a wet dream? Like, this is... The whole thing scared the hell out of me. Because I was like... Because that could be, like, something you didn't even want to do, right? It just happens. Angela was talking about that with him, with Michael when he got... It just happens. He has no control over it. You know, so the idea that it's life or death, you know, and then he said that if you use Viagra, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
For hours and hours. Like, these are very serious situations and topics that if you want to be with somebody, y'all should be having together. See, that's my whole thing with these couples. Nobody wants to have the serious conversations. Everybody wants to be in awe of each other and be in love with each other and be in the honeymoon phase. And then when they get on the plane and they get together, that's when shit hits the fan and they realize, I can't handle this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't take the translation differences or the issues or the issues with the wheelchair. Like, all of that shit needs to be discussed early.
Absolutely.
And for people to make these life-changing decisions without talking about it, oh my gosh, so we got to talk about Chidi. So Chidi is our first blind cast member, right? And he was not born blind. He told us the story of how he went blind, and it was the most heartbreaking thing I've ever heard because it was two separate incidents, right? So one, an apple fell from the tree and hit his eye, damaging his eye, which left him with partial vision. And then another time, due to him having partial vision, he tripped, fell, and hit his eye on a wood desk, ending it. It was the most terrifying, heartbreaking story that I've ever heard, because usually when people lose their eyesight, they're born with it that way. And it, I think that in a sick way of saying it, I think it's easier to accept when you were born with it, because you don't really know what you're missing out. This man saw perfectly fine up until he was like 11 years old. So that's the horrible part about it. And he's still active. I think that's what really caught me as very inspiring, you know, because we take full advantage of, you know, not having to deal with these issues. And I hate to say it, but it never even crossed my mind. But we're watching Brian playing rugby. Wheelchair rugby. We're watching Chidi playing soccer.
Yep.
Being completely blind. And it's crazy to me how these individuals have overcome such life altering issues and still find
joy. I'm pitching because my knee hurts and I have to go get a soda. Like, these guys are inspirational, you know?
I had hip pain last week on Monday, and it hurt so bad I didn't want to get out of bed. And now I feel like such an asshole.
Right.
Because 2 days later, my hip pain was gone.
Yeah.
And now, and there are people who are living every single day in their disability and their issues. And it's like, man, we really do take advantage of what we think is a normal, everyday given ability that is not for everyone. And it's just watching his story and both Brian and, because you know what, in my opinion, I don't really care what the pan out situation story is with Brian. Whatever it was, he didn't deserve what happened to him.
Yeah,
even if he was a part of a gang and organized, I don't care, you know, no one deserves what he's going through. So it's not going to change the way I feel. I still feel that it's unfair. But watching, you know, and it's just interesting to watch these type of relationships, because I've always wondered how people overcome obstacles in relationships like this.
Yeah.
Like, if you're fully able-bodied and you're with someone who is a quadriplegic, how does everyday life look?
Yeah.
How does your life change when you become their wife or their husband? And I think it's interesting, and it's gonna be interesting to watch if they're able to overcome these issues, you know?
Yeah.
And I know being blind is definitely not a huge issue. I was just at Universal Studios the other day, and there was a blind person just walking around, enjoying themselves, having a great time, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
It is definitely not a debilitating issue. You can still get around. And watching the way that they were playing football and soccer and listening, they use a special ball. It just really shows you how complex the mind is and how complex your senses are. Because, you know, I never use my hearing to locate things.
Yeah.
But the mind is so complex that you can use senses that you use for other things to determine distance and space. And it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that they're introducing us to different types of people in different ways that people live their life every day, right? Like, we've been watching able-bodied people all these years. It's very nice to see that love can happen to anybody. And we can see how that's going to pan out.
It was like David being deaf, and he was such an inspiration. Now, Chidi, I love him. I love him from the gate. Now, Renee, I don't love her.
Really?
I don't love her. Something's off with this girl. Something's off. Something is off. She has some serious triggering anger And just the way she acts to the mom and the mom's friends, and she's instantly got an attitude the second she doesn't hear something she wants to hear. But then another one, here we are again. She's got two kids and she's just going away. And like, what about your freaking kids? What about your kids? These women
Well,
having kid after kid after kid, and just find somebody online in another country and we'll just go. It's fine.
yeah, I thought about that too because we were watching The Other Way with Joanne. She's actually bringing her kids over to meet them or whatever, which these people, there it's too early for that. But like you said, it's really interesting because I had held a grudge against my dad because he every time a relationship didn't work out, he'd just go have another family, have more kids.
Yep.
And he's done it multiple times. And I can't imagine what that's like for the children because I went through that. But to see them, have their one parent that's steady in their life, find someone, and then they're like, oh, I'm gonna go to another country and be with this person. That I can't imagine what that's like. I never had that. My dad was always around. I didn't really
Right.
see him, but he was always around. He never tried to leave the country. He brought a woman over from the Philippines, or no, from Thailand, but he never tried to leave the country and not come back, and especially I wasn't a child at the time. I think I was in my teens when that happened.
Yeah.
So I just can't imagine what it's like to be 6 years old, right? Or 8 years old, and your stable parent who's in your life decides to pack up and just go to another country and be with someone. I don't even know, are children even equipped to process that?
No,
Right?
I
Like
mean
do they
the boy is 8 years old, which that's such a critical time. But then the daughter's 16, which is another critical time, especially for the same-sex parent. They're the
Yeah.
most influential role model in that kid's life. And now the 16-year-old's like, oh, okay, so now I just go meet someone in Nigeria and hope for the best.
Yeah.
I
Yeah, that's a very pivotal age for a young lady because that's around the time my sister got pregnant. She was, I think, 15. And when children, especially teenage girls, don't feel the love that they need to feel at home, they look for it other places. And sometimes it's from stupid teenage boys. And then they end up in either controlling relationships, abusive relationships, or they end up pregnant, or they end up having to drop out of school. They really do. You're 100% right. They need that strong mother figure, not just there, but like to be leading by example too. They need to see a good example. Because a lot of times we watch these teen mom shows and the teen moms will say, oh, well, the mom will be like, I got pregnant at 15. And then we'll watch the exact same thing. Her 15-year-old that she got pregnant with is now pregnant. And it's like, it's a cycle because you need that strong example to break the cycle. And when parents, they're like, oh, well, I'm a good parent, but I still need to do things for myself. Yeah, but you also have to always 100% put your child first.
Being a good parent and doing things for yourself means you took the kid to the babysitter, had a girls' night out, done deal. You took the kid to a babysitter, you went and got your nails done. That's doing something for yourself. You don't find love in another country, pack your shit and move. And that's not doing something for yourself.
Well, no, that's literally being selfish,
Yeah.
and I hate it too because I feel like women are given so much more responsibility when it comes to parenting than men. And I do feel like it's unfair. Like I feel
Yeah.
like women are not supposed to think about themselves anymore. And then men do have that option, because for some reason, a dad can go and ship off to the army and be gone for 5 years and nobody will think that he is neglecting his family or his children. But if a woman ships off to another country, we're judgmental about that. And I don't like that. I feel like both parents should have the same level of
Yeah.
responsibility of being in that child's life. And I'm not exactly sure why we see it differently, but we
Yeah.
do.
Yeah, I don't know. Saf Bunny's right, though. It's just like Lauren needing a mommy makeover. When my kids were little, if I had to go do something for me, I went and bought myself a pair of shoes, or I went and got my nails done, or whatever. But I was home promptly in an hour or two. I never left the country.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you need a weekend with like the girls, you can go on a Friday night and go out and come back Saturday night.
Yep.
Totally normal. But on Monday morning, when it's time for the kids to get ready for school, it would be nice
Yeah.
if you guys are there.
Yeah.
Like it would be nice. And it's like I also don't like to cross the line of telling people how to be a parent, but sometimes, you know, especially watching these shows, I see some people making some strange choices, parenting
Oh,
choices.
okay. Specifically for Renee. So she said in the beginning that it's just her and her kids on this little farm and they live a simple life and all this stuff. So all these kids know is this simple life on this farm. Somehow she supports her family selling eggs. They must be golden eggs because I don't know. I don't think I could sell enough eggs to support.
That was crazy because I only spend like $2.99 for a dozen. So
Well,
yeah, that's crazy.
where I live, everybody here has chickens. Everybody.
Oh.
I could make 10 phone calls right now and have 50 dozen eggs at my door in 20 minutes. And I probably pay a buck, maybe, if they charge me. So I don't know how I could support. You just, around here, you can't support your family on selling eggs. But
Well, no.
all I'm saying is these kids are very used to this very simple life with their only parent. And their only parent is uprooting her life and heading to Nigeria.
For a man that we learned doesn't want to share a room with her because of
Yep.
his, and it's funny because this isn't even a Muslim religion, this is a Christian religion.
Yep.
And you know, he feels that they shouldn't be having sex until they're married, and he made a vow that he wouldn't do that. But that's totally fine. I don't judge anybody for any vows they made, but she should know that before she gets on a plane. Like,
Absolutely.
I think that, again, it's these serious, important conversations that aren't being had. And it's everybody and is guilty on both ends. I feel like there's people hiding things from each other. And you know, they're like, oh, well, I don't want to scare them away. I don't want to make, because what's his name? Lauren doesn't want to tell Faith about his plural lifestyle and that he's literally seeing other people.
Yeah.
Like, this is a lot for me because if I'm in a relationship, I don't want to be cheated on.
Absolutely.
And I know that some people are plural, they date more than one person, they're polyamorous, there's so many different versions of this. But in a nutshell, if you're that and I'm not, you're just cheating on me.
Absolutely.
Right? Because we're not the same.
Yep.
We don't practice the same thing. So yeah, it's okay in your eyes because this is who you are, but I don't even know that's who you are because you didn't tell me. So
Yeah.
you're sleeping with all these different people, and then I'm thinking that we're in a relationship. In their mind, they are in a relationship because they think it's very, very possible for you to be in a relationship with one person and have sex with anybody you want.
Yeah.
And it works for some, wouldn't work for me. You know, just me, it wouldn't work for me. I don't see how. I mean, I'm not saying that we have to be fully committed to each other, but like, if you're sleeping with someone else, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how I could, like, I don't even know how to justify it because it's still gonna feel like you're cheating on
I'm
me.
sorry, but if we're in a relationship in two separate countries and you tell me you love me on day one, you best not be sleeping with someone else because you better prove to me that you said I love you day one and you meant it.
Well, first of all, if you say I love you on day one, you can't mean it because it's impossible for you to love someone that you don't
Yeah,
know. It's
if you say you
literally
love
impossible.
that's exactly it. You say you love me on day one, I'm blocking you. But still,
Yeah,
you shouldn't be sleeping
that's
with someone else as long as you're dropping love bombs.
like, that's red flag 101. I feel like within the first 45 days, you shouldn't be using the word love.
Absolutely.
And if, and during the first 45 days, if you do, like you said, we have to block you on all platforms and from WhatsApp, right? Because there's no reason for us to continue because you don't know what love is.
Yep.
Like, it's impossible to love anything. Like, yeah, I got a new phone and I was like, ooh, I love this phone. I'm not marrying it. You know, like that's different. We're not getting
Yep.
married. I just like the amenities and the benefits of the new phone and the space. I don't love it. I'm not in love
But
with it. We're not.
before your 2 years is up on that new phone, you're gonna hate it
Well,
and wish you got something
right. It's
else.
gonna start going slow and I'll probably crack the screen and I'm gonna hate it and I'm gonna want another one. Like,
Yeah.
I think that anyone, when he said I love, but I think that's something that he does because, you know, he has no commitment in him, like
Yeah.
to anything or anyone. I think that he's just one of those people who likes to have sex because he's like, oh, I just want to experience lots of different things and I don't want to miss out on anything. And I was like, that's just being a hoe. You know,
Yeah.
like, 'cause if you love somebody, you're, how would you think you're missing out on anything? But I don't
And
think you
for
know.
crying out loud, you're in Vegas. You can't tell me you can't find what you're looking for there. Oh. You can find one of every kind of person there, at least.
He literally works with women who have penises.
Yes.
Right? Like, he literally is this place because he was like, well, I only like this, and it's hard to find that in Vegas? Like, come on now. Like, if you can find any type of kink or fetish or any specific thing, you can find it in Las Vegas, and it's not even, they don't even make you feel weird in Las Vegas. It's totally accepted and normal. There's a club specifically for whatever you're into. Yep. You can go there with other people who feel the same way and not even feel weird for being there, because literally everyone who feels that way are there, and there's specific places there, you know, because like in the South, maybe, you know, you might feel a little weird, you know, because they're less, but Vegas is like, nobody is judging anybody. Yeah. If you want to go and do that and buy a drink, there are people waiting for you with open arms, with smiles, and a warm stool. You know, like, they are ready for you. So I think that he's just, well, everyone on X said he's hoeing. He's just hoeing around, and he's hoeing from couch to couch.
Yes.
I think that was the real issue. And I feel bad for Faith, because she, with this being her first ever boyfriend, she's going to have a real nasty taste in her mouth for men who date trans women. Yep. And hopefully she doesn't think that all men who date trans women are like Lauren, because they're actually good, decent people. Absolutely. That exist. He's just a hoe. You know, that, but for her, with this being her first boyfriend, it's gonna leave, you know, because you know what they say, the person that damages you the worst is the first one.
Yep.
You know, and that leaves the worst scar. So hopefully, you know, she kicks his ass to the curb quicker and sooner before any real damage is done, so she can move forward and not be caught up in the damage that he's gonna leave behind.
Yeah, I hope so. I wish her the best, but she's not. It's not gonna be the best with him.
Oh my gosh, this episode! I'm telling y'all, I complained, and I was like, "Oh, I just want real drama. I want craziness." This is so much craziness. We haven't even met everyone.
Yes, I love it.
I am so overwhelmed with the level of crazy drama that we are experiencing. I'm just so happy. Also, I'm pissed at the same time, because they didn't put the show on streaming. So that means that this is the end of it. They're never going to put anything else on streaming. Once The Other Way ends, nothing is going to be on streaming. Because I think since The Other Way started on streaming, it's going to finish on streaming. But since this started today and it didn't go on, and I mean, and they might put it on there after the fact, but I don't want to watch ads and commercials, so it does me no good.
Yeah.
So Warner Brothers Discovery, I'm pissed at them. And I know they're broke. I get it. I know that they merged and they paid billions for all of the different things that they bought, but none of that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I don't have $1 billion. I didn't tell you to spend $1 billion. Yeah. Dollars. That's not my problem. So I'm trying to figure out why you're bothering us. Right? Well, like, of all the people.
Discovery over the tell-all bullshit.
I'm gonna get rid of Max, I think, because I'm just so pissed off. I don't want to support them. I feel like supporting them is against what I believe in. And I feel like they're screwing us over because they made a bad business deal, and I don't like that. Absolutely. I don't like it.
Absolutely.
All right, so we run out of time tonight. Like I said, I still had probably 50 pages of crazy stuff I wanted to talk about.
Me too.
But as the season goes on, we'll have more time to discuss. Before the 90 days, season 7, episode 1. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully soon we'll have Dee Dee back. I haven't heard from her, so fingers crossed. We're going to have Dee Dee back really soon. Thank you to my co-host Carr for joining tonight. Next week we might have a special co-host. I'll keep y'all posted.
Someone
that you may recognize. So I'll tell y'all about that. Make sure you're following Carr. She's tagging this video. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, GeorgeMassey.com. And we get your podcast type in the George Massey Show. Thanks for staying up with us tonight. Everybody have a wonderful night. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.